From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. In a moment, our Veterans Day salute. Later tonight, spirituality with an amazing question about God. Here's what's happening. Israel has begun a nationwide drill to test its readiness in the event of another outbreak of a new, more lethal COVID-19 variant. The exercise, a war gamed over three sessions to simulate the passage of time after a potential flare-up, will test the resilience of systems that determine lockdown practices, monitor variants, offer economic support for citizens, enforce quarantines, and watch border crossings. My God, scary times. Austria's chancellor has stepped up threats of lockdown measures for unvaccinated people as new coronavirus cases there in that nation are soaring. The country's worst affected province said it plans to take the step next week. Austria has taken a series of measures in recent weeks in an effort to curb the spread of COVID-19 and encourage more people to get vaccinated. On Monday, new rules took effect barring unvaccinated people who haven't recovered from an infection from restaurants, hotels, salons, and large public events. Moderna held a brief conference call to defend the safety of its COVID-19 shot from a barrage of questions about associated heart risks in young people. Its chief medical officer, Paul Burton, acknowledged on the call, though, that the company's vaccine does appear linked to increased chances of inflammatory heart conditions. So they'll keep checking into that one. Supply chain issues and product shortages have reverberated across industries over the past 18 months, leading to empty store shelves and shipping delays. And within Thanksgiving, right around the corner, how could rising food costs, labor shortages, and other market disruptions impact holiday food availability and pricing? Here's food safety coach Jeff Nelken. Jeff, what a disaster, huh?
Well, I think people are going to start focusing on what they need, and they need to plan for it ahead of time, because whatever their major sources of food or supplies, they need to have alternatives, because I'm finding that there are going to be shortages and it's going to be increasing. So I think people need to become more flexible in seeking out the sources, and I think we need to expect from the communities, especially food banks that have been under a lot of pressure years back, are even under more pressure now. So we need to come up with some, you know, new alternatives on how to, you know, supply the food banks, and as well as the communities and people's habits of buying things, because there, as you see already, there are, you know, some shortages taking place. So I think you need to plan for more of that happening and, you know, figure out what are you going to do as an alternative.
Could there be a turkey shortage at the stores?
They're talking a little bit about, you know, cranberry shortages. Everybody's working real hard, you know, to keep the birds and the traditional items, you know, available. But it's going to be sometimes harder to find.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Jeff's website, foodsafetycoach.com. Loud, distressing noises are a common stress for pets. For dog owners, many have unfortunately seen their companion frightened and even run away during a thunderstorm or fireworks display. Now, a new study finds that big, crashing noises aren't the only sounds that can stress out a dog, that everyday beeps and rings in your home can do it too. Researchers from the University of California, Davis, have discovered that many common items in the typical household can also trigger anxiety in a dog. Moreover, their study finds that pet owners often miss the signs that their pets are nervous, anxious, or experiencing severe stress. How about that? A series of small earthquakes northwest of Columbia, South Carolina, are caused by man-made lakes built more than 40 years ago, according to geologists. But I thought it'd be time to bring in Cal Ory, author of The Man Who Predicts Earthquakes, to talk about what she sees on the horizon. Hi, Cal. How you doing?
Hi. I'm in Northern California still, and we have a month and a half left for my prediction of California. And it was eerie. Today I just Googled it, and I came up with Nostradamus. Pronounce his name for me. Nostradamus. as Brooklyn would call him, Nostradamus.
Nostradamus.
He predicted a great earthquake, get this, will hit the New World, the Western lands. Are you ready? 2021. November 25th.
Wow. And I've been thinking a lot about you, too. I'm getting these strange vibes.
So have I. I cannot get earthquakes off my mind. But there are no aggressive swarms in California right now. My animals are acting totally chill, and they are sensitive. But I don't know. I'm still going to hold my ground. And the astrologer, the French astrologer from, 1500s, 70% accuracy rate. So he's saying great quake. I'm saying significant quake in California before the year is out.
You let us know, Cal, if those animals and puppies of yours start acting a little strange, we'll jump on it. In a moment, our tribute to veterans on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. In a moment, Danyon Brinkley, our veteran, joins us as we honor veterans past and present on this program for the first couple hours tonight. And truly, we can't thank you enough. Those of you who have served, those of you who are serving, those of you who are family members of those who have passed on in the service. Just thank you. From everyone at Coast to Coast for your service and what you have meant to us here in the United States. Now, before we bring in Danyon to talk about the Twilight Brigade and some of the amazing things he's been doing for veterans, it's always a tradition here at Coast to Coast to honor those of you who are serving, who have served by the various branches and their theme songs. So let's begin with the Army. Thank you, Army. Now, those of you who have served in the Navy or are serving, I'm a little partial to that, having served 9 years in the Navy, of course. Here you go. Thank you. And you tough Marines like Daniel Brinkley, thank you for what you do. And, of course, protecting our skies, United States Air Force. And, of course, protecting our shorelines and our seas, the United States Coast Guard. We'll be right back. Of course, Daniel Brinkley, a veteran of the United States Marine Corps, a New York Times bestselling author and entrepreneur, has been a hospice volunteer since the 1980s. And over more than three decades, Daniel has become the leading expert on veterans' affairs, end of life and care needs, and the role of trained volunteers. He's also an expert on the importance of complementary and alternative therapies for veterans as well. Daniel, every time I hear those theme songs, I break up.
I do the same, George. I appreciate each one of them.
Me too. It's really something, isn't it?
Well, you look where we are as a nation, and we look at all the issues about what is free speech and what are the rights of Americans and what is the price that we've paid. And you look at Afghanistan, because I move among veterans all the time, George, and I listen to stories and I talk to doctors that I know in hospitals so that I know what's going on. And you see this movement. There's great things happening in the VA as they tighten up protocols, and I mean, more so in the last 3 years than ever before. But there is a mood watching where and how veterans are reacting to where they find their country.
I am hearing more and more also of PTSD than I've ever heard before. Are you hearing that too?
It's breaking out everywhere, but why? When they pulled out of Afghanistan, and the story among the rank and file, George, is that they left 9 military personnel families behind.
Oh.
Just 9 families that they left them behind. I don't know if that's true or not, George, but I've heard it from way too many places for it not to be the psychology. And that is increasing PTSD, and that is increasing trauma. It's increasing stress in the household. I mean, and it's increasing generalized stress among the family members.
Are the veterans being taken care of in the hospitals?
I'd have to say yes. I mean, I know all the dirt, George. I spent 37 years as a hospice volunteer in
you've
the VA.
You've seen it all, my friend.
37 years. Okay, so I know the good and the bad. I know when in the show, I'm going to give what people ways that if you're working your claim, if you're working your claim and you're trying to get the VA to pay attention to you, then here's ways to do it. We talk about it. We look at the general mood of where everybody is. And then we look at where veterans and the caregivers are, because there's so much information out there for the caregiver. Even now where they put in the Mission Act, they put in money, George, so that she, who is usually the primary caregiver, gets paid to take care of her husband, who is the veteran at home. I mean, this is a remarkable move by the government.
This is my 19th year doing veteran programs with you, and you were doing many with Art before. How many years have you been doing this with us?
This is our 25th year.
Good for you.
Good for us.
Yeah, but you're the one who devotes all your time and energy to this. You're the one that needs to be commended.
Well, thanks, George. I mean, Marine Corps, Simplify. But always I knew that the battle for the souls of humankind would be fought in health care. And I wove my life into health care. And I started out with AIDS. And I would take my father, one of the last things my mother told me in her last breath was for me to look after my father, which means to go to the VA with him.
Tell me about that story, Daniel, when we come back in a moment. Daniel Brinkley with us, and we're going to take calls with you veterans next hour on Coast to Coast AM as well. And welcome to our Veterans Day Salute program with Daniel Brinkley. We'll be back with Daniel in a moment. We'll take calls with him next hour. If you're a veteran, share a story with us. If you just have a call for Daniel, jump on board as well. We'll do that next hour. Much more to talk with him about when we come back. And welcome back to our Veterans Day Salute program. George Norrie with you, Daniel Brinkley, a Marine with us, of course. And Daniel, so you made a pledge to your mother to watch over your father.
Yeah, and so that's how I got into this. And my dad, he could understand. He was a disabled veteran from World War II. And I discovered the AIDS wing. You know, this is like 1984. And it was the saddest place I'd ever been, George.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't believe it. And, you know, then that was, you know, when everybody thought if you were within 100 miles of it, you could get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just found that place where that kind of depression, no matter how or whatever it was, and the isolation and people putting in whole suits on and like it's hazmat. And it breaks that connection between human beings. And I just found a calling. And yeah. I know a lot about death and dying. So having a viewpoint of what's next, I could take a really good look at what happens in the course of serving and then what happens when the VA and the government agencies are supposed to take care of the veteran. So I'm a member of every organization, every caregiver organization, all the programs at the VA, and I listen to the information, and then I have contacts in 22 VAs, people who are Twilight Brigaders who trained or took my program, which now became the NoVet Die Alone program, and that was all created by a group of us. And so I can call those people, and I can ask them specific questions based on implementation of stuff as I read the legislature. And then I still do vigils. I mean,
Oh, yeah, you do.
You know, I did one three. Let me say something really strange. And because I pay so much attention to palliative and end-of-life care, this is my world. And why I focus on it is there's so many of us in our generation that the way life is going and the amount of stress that's being created and the shifting of consciousness that's being created before our very eyes, that kind of stress and what it's going to build up into, the medical paradigm has to be paid attention to. So knowing that, then I look at palliative and end-of-life care as a specialty. It means I can also look back, George, all the way through the system and see the flaws. You know, I can see the flaws. And when I looked at AIDS patients and what happens, it was just a point that I had to somehow get their family or their friends past whatever issues they had so that that person could have closure and hurt in fighting and defending this country. There was a place greater than any of their personal choices they made. They made a personal choice to protect me as a veteran or our people who served, and that was good enough for me. And so that's what led me into doing this.
Daniel, back in the 60s and the early 70s, of course, the protesters protesting the Vietnam War. And as I look back now, protesting the war was fine. They had a right 100%. To do that. But what 100%. They forgot to do in that era is protect the troops. Instead, they blamed the troops for Vietnam. They you know, ratted down on the troops rather than, you know, give us pride with the troops. If you want to be opposed to war, that's fine. But don't attack the troops in doing it. And that's the mistake I think the protesters made during that era.
Well, I think that was an American mistake, but it was all strategy. You know, all of that stuff was strategy. The far left that was the biggest protesters that spit on them and all of that, they had a knowledge of how the war was being run. You know, they had a knowledge about it. And that radicalness was just enough for people to pay attention to that they were caught. Okay, but guys coming back, a lot of people got upset about it. A lot of guys are traumatized for it now. And you and I both know that because we know people in that age group. We both know that it is, and it's subtle, but it's there. You were just doing your job.
That's
you
right.
were doing that, and you believe everybody knew they weren't protecting America from the red tide. You know, it had to be some business, and all of us knew that. It had to be some business angle because it was so stupid how it was run and how it operated. So that created the psychology where it not only depressed the Vietnam era person, not only depressed them, it created anxiety. Okay, and that's what we're dealing with when we watch probably 50 million people go through, well, not there's 50 million people in the age group, but so there would probably be 12 to 13 million of us that are going through those periods right now.
And look and how fast they, look how fast Saigon fell as soon as we got out of there. It was almost overnight, wasn't it?
Yeah, it fell in a day. Look at Kabul.
Same thing.
It fell in a day, okay? Well, when you stop and you look at that, when you look at that, and just like we were saying earlier, that if they left American soldiers' families, and they did that, okay, and who knows if that's true or not, but you hear it, then there is a rumbling occurring. There's a rumbling occurring. And then there are those, and it's just how they deal with it. I mean, I've seen everybody deal with it from anger to dejection to depression to PTSD, you know, and I watch this stuff all the time.
And, well, and what I always have said too, Danyon, is when we found out that Osama bin Laden was hiding in Tora Bora in that mountain region, we should have just leveled that mountain region, just taken it all out, the whole mountain, and we wouldn't even have had to have sent any troops.
Well, I would have voted for that myself. That would they, but we didn't have the Daisy Cutter then. I mean, we'd have to bomb it for like 4 days.
Not if you use one nuke.
Well, I don't know about that, George.
Well, look what they did us.
Well, I understand, but a nuclear weapon sets off a whole different psychology.
It's just a mountain. It's just a mountain. Tell us about the Twilight Brigade. How did that start?
Okay, the Twilight Brigade started when I had to have brain surgery. And what I did was the first two times that I had gone through being struck by lightning and open-heart surgery and these near-death experiences, there was a place in it, George, that I thought was just a passenger place where you looked at the separation between the world you were leaving and then the tunnel and then down the tunnel and then into the life review. But the third time it was brain surgery, and I told you this before, I was outside of my body, but I wasn't floating above it. I was watching it from that point, and when I went to the transitional place, the place I think that you separate, mm-hmm. I realized that it was a level of consciousness in itself. And there were so many people trapped, and they were trapped there by choice, and there were so many veterans, because I could tell by uniforms, that these people had been so dejected that they couldn't let go. And so I said, all right, then when I came back after brain surgery, you know, here we go again. And I spent 41 hours in recovery because I kept studying this place I call the blue-gray place. And I saw that if I could create a program that would help ease some of the crisis of what I felt over there, then I could not only send a veteran, I could send them having knowing that their life had value and knowing that they had closure and the five steps by which you create closure. Then as that person passed through the veil or through the tunnel, another veteran or another person dealing with that could see or feel that light, and he would let go of this level that he was holding on to, and he would go. Because there are people who are alcoholics and are drug addicts, and they want to get back over here. And I never saw that place the first two times, and then I've seen it the third time. And then I saw it 3 years ago, the fourth time. So what got me to create the Twilight Brigade was realizing that people lose a certain part when they feel betrayed, or they have free will until that tunnel business occurs, and they're dealing, working through those issues. A lot of what the Tibetans call bardos and what the Catholics, until they settled with the Lutherans in 2013, purgatory.
Ah, yes, know it well. What has been for you the most emotional aspect of working with vets that you can recall?
Because just like you were talking about, George, so many people lived after wars and saw what the world was. A world war gives you the chance to see what the world war was and what happened after it. And you hear political sides of views and you hear opinions about it. And I've been with thousands of veterans and, you know, in groups and organizations and listening to their viewpoints of American history. But the most important thing was that I could help them. I understand how you look at the VA. I spent 37 years in the VA, and I am a very focused person. You know, I'm paying attention to how it works and what it does and when it does it and where the flaws are and what's the overall picture of what's being occurred. Because I can tell you this, George, this system that's being created now, this veteran health care system, okay, it has a bigger future after we're gone, after we, Vietnam, the 13 million of us, then it'll have a different platform. It will have a different structure and reality.
So true, my friend.
And so being a part of watching all of that and being a part of being able to help them has been the most rewarding. And I've always looked at it from the standpoint is I'm fighting for me. Everybody's me. In my age group and just before me and just a few in front of me that served in that period, Korea and that period, they're all me. And so I can look at it from being Danyon Brinkley, former Marine, and then I can look at it from being Danyon Brinkley, the dead guy, and then I can look at it from how those systems cohesively work together to give that safe, fulfilling method by which you go from this world to the next one. You know, that is the place. And I have a targeted audience, George. God gave me a bunch of me's. and I have a targeted audience that the union and unity between military people from that period, because of how we were treated, bonded us. And we know crazies and we know sane people. And we know people who are living in denial but went off and made themselves prominent. So by looking at it from that point of view, I take great pride in three basic programs that the VA didn't have, and I worked diligently to put these programs in play. And one is the integrative therapies, which is now whole health. And everybody who's listening and every caregiver who's listening, you need to call the VA and you need to get into the whole health program. Just get in the whole health program and tell them you're looking for mindfulness. Okay. And everybody, if it's a veteran, that's what you do. That moves your claims forward. And this whole health program, George, is a remarkable program that people are using yoga, which when we started it, we couldn't say yoga, but now we can say yoga, stretching, Tai Chi. All of these things are improving the lives of people. They can do it at home. One thing about COVID created a way that you can almost make personal interaction with people.
That's the only good thing that came out of COVID. Is our interaction with people, either by Zoom or phones or whatever we do.
Yeah, Skype or Microsoft. I mean, I do the Novet Die Alone program in two VAs.
Good for you.
Because I know everything that's going on, George. If I listen to the programs and I participate, and I have done it for 40 years, so I can see things that people need and how to perfect the nature of transition. So I listen, and I'd like to say this. There is a guy in Atlanta, and his name is Curtis Williams. He's a reverend in the chaplain program. George, this is someone who, through COVID and through everything, I have seen him use the Novet Die Alone program and to build it and to support it in ways that makes me very, very proud. So a shout out to you, Curtis, for doing a great job.
Okay, my friend, we're going to take a quick break and then come back and take phone calls with Danyon Brinkley. If you're a vet, you want to share a story with us, jump on board. If you just have a question of Danyon Brinkley as we pay tribute on Veterans Day, our friends, check in with us next.